This is All In. I'm Miriam So. Agritourism is a big part of Indiana, and state officials have long been touting the benefits. What are those benefits, and how does our state compare to others? With us now is Indiana Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch to give us all the details. Lieutenant Governor Crouch, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my goodness. It's a pleasure to join you, Marion, and be able to talk about agritourism in Indiana.
Absolutely. So what is agritourism for those who are wondering? Is it agriculture and tourism?
You know, that's exactly what it is. It's kind of the juncture of agriculture and tourism. So it can be experiencing what farm life is like, picking your own produce at peak time or touring a vineyard and sampling wine. It can be any of those things, but agritourism is extremely important so that everyone can understand where food comes from and how it impacts our health. And those kids and those adults that actually experience agritourism will develop a newfound respect for behind-the-scenes aspects of growing and raising food that nourishes us.
I have to say, whenever I've gone to like an apple farm or pumpkin patch, I start to think maybe I want to run my own. It looks so relaxing, but I'm sure there's a lot of work to it.
You know what? There is a lot of work to it, but you know, agriculture is big business here in the state of Indiana. We are the 10th largest farming state. And of course, we love to attract visitors to our state so they can experience what we enjoy every day. And that agritourism brings people into the state and allows them to experience those agriculture venues where they get to see what it's like to be part of agriculture and the agriculture community.
You mentioned Indiana's 10th in terms of agritourism. Are there any plans to become first?
And you know what? We are always striving for number one. And we have developed a number of trails here in Indiana that we think helps to highlight what we have to offer, but also allows visitors the experience of, you know, enjoying what we have here in Indiana. And one of those kind of trails that we, you know, have introduced or relaunched earlier this month is our cheese trail.
Yes. And, you know, we are going to be speaking about the cheese trail with some of the folks a little later on. So I'm really excited about that because I love cheese.
I do too. And I've got all 10 of the sites on my bucket list, and I'm going to get to all of them.
When it comes to the benefits of agritourism, aside from people learning about where their food comes from and having respect for that, are there any sort of benefits to the state's economy?
Oh my goodness, of course. Of course there is. Agriculture itself, and that includes agritourism, it contributes $31 billion to our state's economy. And to kind of share with you how important agriculture and tourism is to Indiana, this past session, which ended in the end of April, the General Assembly passed legislation that made popcorn the number one snack or the official snack of Indiana. And I do believe that we are the number one popcorn producing state in the country. And so it is about, you know, celebrating agriculture, but then the agritourism is bringing people in. And I'll tell you, Marion, one of the programs that we started here in Indiana to help kind of develop and promote our agritourism scene is we, about 6 years ago, created our Indiana Grown program. And Indiana Grown, now being 6 years old, has over 1,800 members. And the members can be farmers, or they can be farmers markets, distributors, producers, processors, wineries, breweries, retailers, grocers, hospitals, restaurants. I mean, anyone who becomes an Indiana Grown member has to either be helping and being a farmer and a producer of agriculture products, or they have to either produce or process agriculture products here in Indiana. And the advantage of being an Indiana grown member here in Indiana is our Indiana grown program actually helps our farmers and producers market their programs or market their products. So we will, display them prominently at our groceries and at our, little tourism stops in Indiana with signage. We also provide marketing for them and give them technical assistance. So it's a way to educate customers on the importance of food, but there is such a demand and has been a growing demand over the last few years to really support locally grown and produced agriculture products. And our Indiana Grown program really helps to identify those products for our consumers here in Indiana. It's just an incredible program. It costs nothing to belong, so members can join and get the support of being an Indiana Grown member without any cost to them. But it's a way for us to continue to support and grow our agritourism industry here in the state of Indiana.
I'm glad you mentioned Indiana Grown, because I was going to ask you about that. I'd looked at the site and was reading some of the testimonials. And are these products just in Indiana, or are they distributed outside of the state for companies?
No. They are in the state, but we also, a lot of our Indiana Grown members ship outside of Indiana. And in fact, during COVID, when it became extremely difficult for a lot of our members to have their stores or their markets open, we actually developed a kind of an online store of Indiana Grown products. So now consumers can go online and kind of peruse our Indiana Grown products and order them directly from that producer or that in business without having to actually set foot in the shop.
Speaking of the pandemic, I wonder, did agritourism grow during this period because it was an outdoor activity, when everything was shut down for a while and it was like safer to be outside? Do you think more people paid attention to agritourism at that point?
Oh, absolutely. And to kind of illustrate, our state parks had over 2 million visitors last year. Because it was much safer to be outdoors and to be in nature than it was to be confined in indoor areas. So actually, agritourism also kind of had that benefit, because a lot of the venues, particularly the outdoor venues, not so much the indoor venues, but the outdoor venues saw a lot of traffic and a lot of upticks in their sales, because it was safer to be outdoors in an orchard picking apples or in a strawberry patch picking strawberries than it was to be indoors with activities going on.
What do you think these projects mean for Indiana in the long run, things like Indiana Grown and agritourism?
I think what it does, it helps to grow our economy. It also helps to support small businesses, because while not all of our Indiana Grown members are small businesses, the majority of them are. And it's a way to continue to grow and support our small businesses and entrepreneurs here in the state of Indiana. And that just adds to our economy. But it also helps by promoting agritourism and growing that industry. It brings more visitors here to Indiana to be able to experience the agriculture life that is so part of our state.
Well, we'll be speaking with Elaine Beadle a little later to learn more about the different places around the state folks can check out. But I wanted to ask you if you have any favorite spots to visit.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I work in Indianapolis. That's where our state capital is during the week. But I go to Evansville every weekend. And there is an Indiana Grown member in Evansville, Mays Farm Market on St. Joe Avenue that my husband visits frequently, because they have in the fall, they have mazes. But they have homegrown products from spring through end of fall. And it's just a wholesome experience. Love going there.
When it comes to improvements in the way people view agriculture, have you seen any shift in the years that you've been working in the sector?
You know, I do. I think through our Indiana Grown product and through by highlighting and putting a spotlight on agriculture and what it takes to put food on the table and how you can eat healthy and you can eat with locally grown products by buying through our Indiana Grown members. I think what it has done is created a greater awareness among the public. That educational process has created a greater awareness and a deeper appreciation of what it takes to get those products on the shelves in the store and on our tables. And I think that has helped to elevate agriculture here in the state of Indiana.
What are you hoping to see moving forward in the next year or so?
Oh my goodness. Well, we want to see a whole lot more trails. We have beer trails. We have wine trails. We have cheese trails. We have, do you know that October here in the state of Indiana, well, nationally it's pork month. And so we celebrate Porktober here in Indiana. We even have a breaded pork tenderloin trail. So we want to continue to develop those trails that kind of highlight the foods and the culinary experiences that people are looking for to be able to attract them to Indiana and continue to support agriculture here in our state.
Lieutenant Governor, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Well, it is my pleasure, Marion, and you have a great, great agriculture day.
Thank you so much. If you're a cheese enthusiast, don't go anywhere. We'll learn all about the Indiana Cheese Trail next. And if you have any questions or comments for the show, you can let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. I'm Miriam Sobe. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. When we think about a state known for its dairy and in particular cheese production, we might link Wisconsin as the dairy capital of the Midwest. But as I found out recently, Indiana is making progress in the cheese world. With us now is Brooke Williams, Director of Communications for the American Dairy Association of Indiana. Welcome to the program, Brooke.
Hey, thanks for having me. And what an introduction from the Lieutenant Governor. So thanks.
Absolutely. And my apologies to our guests and our listeners if you hear any pounding or drilling. Suddenly, someone above me has decided to do some construction work. So, Brooke, when I was looking up agritourism programs across the state, I came across the Cheese Trail. It surprised me because I never would have thought to connect our state with cheese. We did just hear Lieutenant Governor Crouch mention this Cheese Trail. Can you tell us what it is?
Yeah. So basically what our organization does, the American Dairy Association Indiana, we work for Indiana's dairy farm families. And every time that we have an event and we need food, not only do we bring the ice cold milk, but oftentimes we've needed cheese. And more and more of our dairy farmers here in the state are starting to process their own milk and make their own cheese. And so we thought it's really just time for people, Hoosiers and, you know, people from out of state coming in to Indiana to really start to meet the farmers behind these products that they're seeing at their local farmers markets, in their grocery stores, or even, you know, farms right up the road from them. So we put together the Indiana Cheese Trail to highlight some of these farms and creameries across the entire state of Indiana. And we just added our 11th stop this last month.
So when you talk about a cheese trail, is it a trail that I would go walking on and then I would find like this dairy and then I'd walk to the next dairy? Can you explain it for us?
Yeah. So the way that the cheese trail works, it is a little different than, you know, some of the trails you might find in Kentucky or something like that you can hop on a bus and go do it in a day. So the Indiana Cheese Trail, some of the stops aren't open every day of the week. Like I said, these are dairy farm families, a lot of them, that are busy with the cows and processing milk and things like that. So we put together a map that's available, indianacheesetrail.com. And we have stops all the way north and South Bend, all the way down close to Evansville. So what we recommend is that if you have a weekend or a, you know, some day of the week, go to the website, see which of the stops are open. And then I'm sure you can hit probably two or three of the different cheese trail stops in a day. But we really want this to be an experience. So if you're near Warren, Indiana, Gulf of DiNapoli, they actually have a restaurant there. So we want you to go in and meet the people making the fresh burrata cheese or the mozzarella, and then let them put together a cheese board for you. So you can really sit and ask the questions and talk about how cheese is made. And the same goes for friends in Zionsville, the Trader's Point Creamery, that have a delicious farmhouse restaurant there. You can meet the cheesemaker, Jonathan Love. So we really want you to not just go and, you know, have a couple cheese cubes and be on your way. We want you to go and really experience what it's like for these farmers, to talk to them, to talk about the business side of things, and really support your local community in that way.
And so these dairies are located throughout the state, or are they concentrated more in a specific part?
If you look at the map, you'll notice that majority of them are going to be from central Indiana up north. You know, but it just kind of depends. We have a stop down in the, like I said, close to Evansville, but then we also have some stops on the east side of the state. So really, I think you'll be surprised when you look at the map. There's going to be one of the 11 stops close to you. And so there's going to be a little for everyone. And really, you're supporting the cheese trail too. If you go to your local grocery store and ask and look at the packaging of what cheeses are made in Indiana, because a lot of these stops, they do distribute to your local grocer stores, like a Heritage Ridge or a Schnabeltier, a Jacobs in Bridgeford. A lot of these names, I'm sure, are very familiar to people. And so we just want to continue to ask that you support local and get to know the farmers.
Have you seen the cheese industry in Indiana grow over the last few years?
I think if you look at numbers overall in dairy, cheese continues to be a very popular choice for people, along with milk and yogurt. But yeah, I think in this kind of gives a lot of people want a reason to buy local, right? And so they love that they can go to a farmer's market and see who's growing the crop, who's out in the field, and who's, you know, with the livestock. And so I think it's really important for people to continue to have products that are coming from a place right down the street and in their community. And I think cheese is representative of that and of that passion. And I think we're very fortunate here in the Hoosier State that there are so many consumers really grateful to be able to support farmers, especially during this time.
If you have any questions or comments for our program, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. We're speaking with Brooke Williams of the American Dairy Association of Indiana. And Brooke, we do have someone from one of the dairies we'll be speaking with shortly about their process. How important is it that these dairies are producing cheeses strictly with Indiana dairy?
Yeah, I think, you know, any time that you can really feel like a product is coming from close to home, I think it's going to, you know, you're going to be more passionate about supporting it and continuing to purchase that. Like I said, we're very fortunate here in the Hoosier State that we're kind of protective of our borders. And we like to joke that, you know, we're on this cheese trail competition with our friends up in Wisconsin, because you hear oftentimes that Wisconsin is the cheese state. But we know that the hard work and dedication that these dairy farmers and creameries have to cheese is really something to look at. And every single one of these creameries has won prizes for their cheese. And so, you know, you may not realize how great the cheese is that you can buy here in local, you know, grocery stores and convenience stores. And so the fact that you're able to do that, and we don't have to buy from another state, and we can support our own farmers down the street, I think that's a really important point to make and a really important reason to continue to buy local.
Are you saying we don't have to go to Wisconsin to get cheese curds?
That's right. You don't. Our friends up in Osceola, Crystal Springs Creamery, they're not the only one that makes cheese curds. But I have to tell you, they have a wood-fired pizza cheese curd. It is delicious. And I would have to say it has to rival anything that's coming out of Wisconsin.
Do you have a favorite cheese?
I'm not as like experimental with cheese. So my favorites still are going to be like a nice aged cheddar or sharp cheddar, something like that. But I will say I've been expanding my palate, and I've had some really good cheese here from, I had some from J2K. They make a delicious blue cheese, which isn't something that I would typically have, but it's just, it's nice. They are so passionate to tell you about what cheese they love the most coming from their creamery. And so, you know, you just want to naturally try more.
Yeah, it's my lunchtime, so I'm just thinking about eating cheese right now. And I've also started experimenting more with like cheeses and jams and greens, and just like the flavors that come out is really interesting.
Yeah. 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 A lot of this came from at the Indiana State Fair. We have the dairy bar, and every August we have a signature grilled cheese sandwich. And so, you know, it really has become part of our office, kind of our culture, to try new cheeses every year and to figure out which grilled cheese we're going to serve. So Heritage Ridge Creamery was one that we use their cheese a lot, starting out for grilled cheese. And now, you know, we have such a wide range that we can choose from going forward.
What's next for the cheese trail?
We're going to continue to promote fall. You know, I think COVID kind of brought out this love of charcuterie boards. And so there's never been a better time to try new cheeses and to serve them at family events or even tailgating. You know, you can make little charcuterie boards just filled with different cheese options. So we're going to continue to promote. But the more and more that dairy becomes popular and people continue to support it, it's going to open more doors to more creameries to make cheese. So here soon, I'm sure we'll add a 12th stop to the Indiana Cheese Trail. We recently heard from another creamery that makes cheese curds in the spring. So they may be our next stop, and we'll be sure to let you know about them.
Well, thank you so much, Brooke Williams, Director of Communications with the American Dairy Association of Indiana. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. WinnersDrinkMilk.com for more.
With us now to talk more about cheese is Cheryl Denals, Cafe Assistant Manager for Golfo di Napoli Dairy, based out of Warren, Indiana. And I want to welcome you to the program, Cheryl.
Thank you.
I want to start with Golfo di Napoli. How did that dairy get started? Or are we supposed to call it a creamery?
They go by dairy, and it's just something that the owner, Antonio Soma, and his daughter, Georgia, just decided to, strategically, they wanted to place this, I feel, in the middle of nowhere, but he loved the openness of the area, and he liked where he knew where the building was going to be, and so they threw a plan together and they went with it.
And so what is the main production that comes out of this dairy? Are there certain cheeses?
Yeah. So our main cheese is mozzarella, but we have also caciocavallo, and then we have ricotta, and then we also have burratas, which are also all mozzarella. So it's just a different form of the mozzarella.
Okay, so can you tell me what a burrata is if it's mozzarella? But is it like, are they little balls or?
Well, they look actually like a sack of cheese. And then when you cut into them, they're shredded mozzarella in cream. But we also make them in pistachio, truffle, and walnut. And you can eat the whole thing. So the outside is going to be more like you could cut it into slices, but the inside is something you can spread.
Oh man, that sounds so good.
It is. It is actually my favorite is our burrata.
And so you could just pop it in your mouth and eat it? Or are you saying you could spread it like on a, I don't know, on toast?
Yeah, you can. I've had people who don't finish it. And so they'll kind of ask me like ideas. What should I do with it when I get home? And you can put it in anything. You could even do it the next morning in your egg. I mean, it's just literally, it kind of resembles the look of cottage cheese. That's what's in the middle. It looks like it, but it's not.
So why is there a focus on Italian cheeses at this dairy?
That honestly, it's a good question. I think it's because that's where they are all from. And even our cheesemaker, he is from Italy as well. And so I think they just wanted to bring that to us and share it with everyone that's around here.
That's great, bringing the culture and the cheese here to Indiana. What is there a certain process to making cheese that is different or that people would find interesting?
I do not work in the factory, so I do get this question a lot. I honestly cannot answer that. I know there is a process, and actually in our cafe, we have some really big glass windows that you can see into where they make the cheese, and there are days when they're back there and people will stand at the window and watch them.
Oh, that's really cool. And when they make that cheese, can you eat it right away, or is it something that has to settle for a while?
I know you can't eat all of them right away. We also have a cheese room, and so that's wonderful to go into. The public can't go into it, but sometimes we have to go back and get something, and it's just wonderful. But I do know that they usually start on Mondays, and by Tuesdays, I have my cheese order for the cafe. So some of it, like our provolone, definitely needs to be aged, but not everything has to be aged.
Have you seen an interest since the pandemic with more people consuming cheese? I know a lot of people were baking at home, making bread, pizza, and stuff like that. Have you seen an increase in that?
I think so. We also have a cooler set up in our cafe so people can come in and get cheeses to go. And so I think so, especially, you know, of course, once they taste our cheese, they want to take it home with them. So,
yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the items that you have in your cafe? I think just because I want to torture myself because I'm so hungry right now.
Okay. So you want to know what we some of the items off our menu?
Yeah. So that use the cheeses that are made there.
Okay. We have, of course, we have charcuterie boards. And, you know, when we get a lot of people that come in that have never been here. And so I always recommend those. You know, you're going to get a good taste of our meats and our cheeses. We have really great pizzas. We have paninis. We have croissants. We have appetizers. We have salads. And, of course, we have great desserts as well.
And so all of those are using the dairy that is produced there?
Yes. Yes. And then we also, all of our wine is from Italy. I have beer from Italy. So we have great coffee. We use the Italian espresso bean when we make our coffee. So we have great coffee drinks as well.
What would you say makes Golfo di Napoli unique for Indiana?
I think a lot of it is, you know, we're a cafe. So people are able to come in and get a bottle of wine and just sit and relax. And it's not a rushed atmosphere. And so people just come in and they sit and, you know, we do our best to get to know them and they get to know us. And I always like to share the story of how this place got started and just kind of tell people the history of it. And people love that. And so it's just a very relaxed atmosphere.
And you're also on the cheese trail.
Yes.
Have you had folks coming in that found out about it through the cheese trail?
Yes, we have.
And how has it been so far with COVID and everything? Sort of some things have been opening up. Has that affected the business at all?
I think it did in the beginning, but we had a great summer. We really did, and we're having a great fall. We still have outdoor seating, and we have heaters outside. So even last weekend, we had a table out there, and they just bundled up. It's what they wanted to do. So I think we're on the tail end of that. I think we're doing a lot better.
Well, before we wrap up, I'm curious to know, what is your favorite cheese?
Well, we do have, I mentioned all of our cheeses, and we do also have smoked mozzarella and smoked caciocavallo. So it's a toss-up between the plain burrata and the smoked caciocavallo. It is just amazing.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you.
Cheryl Denals is the cafe assistant manager for Golfo di Napoli Dairy, based out of Warren, Indiana. Just ahead, what sort of agritourism events are taking place in Indiana and how can you attend? We will find all of that out. If you have any questions or comments for our guests today, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. Or you can go to our app. It's called All in Vox Pop. Find it wherever you get your apps, and you could leave us a voice memo through that. I'm Miriam Soeb. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Miriam Soeb. We've got plenty of activities that revolve around agriculture that can be fun and entertaining while also providing some educational value. Joining us now to give us a rundown of things we can see throughout the state is Elaine Beadle, Secretary and CEO of the Indiana Destination Development Corporation. Welcome back, Elaine.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Elaine, earlier we heard from Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch about agritourism, and I wanted to know your thoughts on how this industry is important to the state, but also to tourism.
Well, absolutely. You know, agritourism is that combination of agriculture and visitors and learning. And, you know, it's not just seeing something, it's learning how your food is made. I grew up on a farm, and we had a large garden. And so we raised everything there, corn, potatoes, peas, green beans, carrots, onions, cabbage, lettuce, you know, berries, beets, I mean, all kinds of things. And my dad had beef cattle and pork. So we basically ate what we raised. And not many people get that opportunity today to really watch their food grow and then help harvest it and then enjoy it. And so I think that curiosity has peaked with a lot of people wanting to know where their food comes from. You know, if you grow up in an urban area, chances are you don't visit a farm or have maybe never visited a farm to see how that works. And I think there's also an awareness now of what kind of, if there are any kind of chemicals used with the production of food and those types of things, people are just more interested in what they're eating. And I think because of that, agritourism has grown. And there's been a lot of farms that have allowed people to come in and just kind of watch how things are done in a farm. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, it's both educational and entertaining and a great family event.
I feel like in the past, these types of events were more for like school field trips, and now they've become broader and more, I guess, more people are into it.
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, you'd find the local farmer who is willing to let you bring a busload of third graders out. And that's how people got exposed to it many times. But now, because of the interest there, you've got places like Fair Oaks Farms, and you've got wineries that are opening their door and showing how we take grapes and make it into wine. So I think there's just more opportunities for families on their own to go out and find these locations. And often not only do they get to see how something is produced, they also get to try it with the restaurants and the farmers markets and things like that, that a lot of times are on these farms as well.
Well, there are so many activities happening that incorporate agriculture. That's a tongue twister. And I know you have the inside scoop on lots of the places to check out. So I wanted to start with mazes. I've been to a few corn mazes in my time, and they're a ton of fun. What do we have available in Indiana this year?
Oh, there are a lot of farms that take part of their corn field and make a corn maze. And many times they're the same place where you can find your pumpkin and choose a pumpkin for your jack-o'-lantern and maybe visit the orchard and pick apples. There's one near Lafayette in Northwest Indiana called Exploration Acre. And they have a theme every year. And the theme this year is United We Stand. And again, that's just one example of many corn mazes. Many people are aware of Holiday World in Santa Claus, Indiana, Holiday World and Splashing Safari. This time of year, they're celebrating fall as well. And they've got a large corn maze down there that you can experience along with all of the normal rides they have. They've got a trick-or-treat trail, hay rides, all those kinds of things as well.
I need some tips for corn mazes. I don't know, maybe somebody started a website somewhere of how not to get lost. I've popped out on the wrong side. I'm like, how did I get here?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think they're really fun, especially when they say you've got to find these items and you have to kind of go in every nook and cranny until you find that one little display that you can check your box or take the stamp or whatever. and see how quickly you can get through the maze sometimes. But you can easily get turned around. I'm the same way. You know, I start going one direction and suddenly there's a corner and I turned and it's like, okay, how many times did I turn left? Or how many times did I turn right? Now, how do I get out of here? Yeah, it actually, you do get that little tinge of panic when you say, how do I get out of here?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think I spent 3 hours one time because I was determined to get to every stop and I was getting lost. And I was just like, I don't care. I need to get all these items. But you mentioned apple picking. Is it too late to go apple picking? I feel like there's a season for that, but I'm not sure.
No, I think we're still into it, you know, and you've got, Tuttle's Orchard out in Greenfield and Beasley's Orchard in West Central. But there's a lot of places where you can still pick your own apples. And again, while you're there, they probably have caramel apples on a stick that you can taste. And they probably have apple cider that you can enjoy there or buy and take with you. Again, a great opportunity to kind of see how these farms and orchards work. And, you know, it takes a lot of work, you know, to do this type of business. And I think there's a new appreciation for, you know, what it takes to have apples grow on a tree and make sure they're healthy and how impactful weather can be. You know, when you have a bad season, a late frost, and maybe the blossoms get hurt and you don't have as good a crop as what you normally would in other years. So, but no, I think there are plenty of places where you can still do the U pick as well.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Elaine Beadle, Secretary and CEO of the Indiana Destination Development Corporation. We're talking about agritourism throughout the state, different things you can take part in. And if you have any questions or comments, you can let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. When it comes to apples, Elaine, there's always apple cider, too. Are there any places in Indiana that are dedicated to this beverage?
You know, I think just about every place you can find apples, they're going to have that as well. You know, I don't know any offhand that only do that or specialize in just apple cider, but there may be some out there. And let me mention, there is a place where you can find a whole listing of orchards and around the state in all sections of the state, Dillman Farms down in Bloomington or North Manchester Farmers Market up in North Manchester. So let me give you the website. It's just visitindiana.com/agritourism. And you'll be able to see a list by section of the state for farms, orchards, and markets. In addition, if you're thinking ahead, it also has tree farms. So if you're thinking about getting a live tree this Christmas, you can find all the different places where you can go and choose your own live tree. They'll cut it down and wrap it for you. And you do have to many times get it in your car or your truck or whatever to take home. But we have quite a few tree farms around Indiana as well.
When it comes to how Indiana is doing with agritourism and what you've seen over the years working in this industry, have you seen things growing or changing?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think that there's just, as I said, the interest by consumers and maybe a little bit because of the pandemic, you know, families are now wanting to be outside and discovering things together in their own small group. And I think that bodes well for going to orchards and going to working farms and different places like that. So, into vineyards. I definitely think that there has been an uptick in that kind of appreciation and that kind of activity. And I hope it really continues because you're outdoors, you're doing something together with your family, you're learning something about the food that you eat and the things that you drink. And I think it's good for everyone.
It's interesting you mentioned earlier growing up on a farm and having mm-hmm. all of that stuff and growing what you eat. And I think it's interesting when we look at now, it's like it's an event to go and see this stuff happening. And I wonder if folks who grew up on farms were thinking at the time like this is just normal life. To everyone else, it's something fascinating.
Oh, I think so. In fact, I will tell you, as I was growing up, I did feel a little bit put upon. I mean, I had to work on the farm when all my friends in town got to go to movies and do things like that. But, you know, it was a great experience and you wouldn't trade it for anything. But it is one of those things that you kind of grow up and you think that everybody knows this life and everybody's grown their own green beans that they eat or their own potatoes in their garden. And that's not necessarily true. But again, we see more urban farms popping up, people trying to grow things, you know, in their on their patios, which is, again, I think another heightened interest in what we eat and how healthy it is and how concerned people are about those kinds of things.
I think also the pandemic kind of, when it slowed everybody down, it got folks interested in gardening and baking and doing all kinds of do-it-yourself stuff. So, I mean, I know I developed an interest in gardening. I don't have a yard, mm-hmm. but I went to my parents and just mm-hmm. watching stuff grow was so mm-hmm. fascinating. Mm-hmm. And it's rewarding when you can like eat something.
Exactly. You know, tomato plants. I mean, everyone can easily find a tomato plant. You can put it in a pot. You can put it on your, if you're in an apartment, you can put it out on the little balcony or you can, you know, plant them along the landscaping around your house or your garage or places like that and watch them grow. You do have to be careful that the deer don't get to them first or the rabbits, but otherwise you can have that experience. And, you know, people will often say, you know, growing it yourself just sort of tastes better than what you get, you know, in the markets or especially in the grocery stores. The farmers markets are different. They're coming right out of the gardens and the fields there. But, you know, sometimes to be able to have food in our grocery stores, they have to package them different. They have to pick them a little bit earlier than when they're fully ripe. And it's different when you've got it on your own plant until they're ripe. And the taste can be a little bit different. I think people are also enjoying that.
When we talk about you pick markets, are there some popular destinations this time of year for folks to go to for who may not be able to grow stuff in their yard? They could go to a you pick place, for example.
Oh, absolutely. And as I was mentioning earlier, there's a lot of places that have you pick and of all kinds of fruits. You can do strawberries earlier in the summer. There's you pick strawberry patches. There's, you know, as we mentioned earlier, apples, but there's pears and different things like that that people can enjoy. And again, going to that visitindiana.com/agritourism, you can find a location in your section of the state that might be really close by. But it's also a nice road trip sometimes going to another section of the state and kind of seeing some of those things. We also, you know, look at this as a real interest in culinary. I often mention that Indiana farm to table was always done here in Indiana before it got trendy around the country. And we have a lot of restaurants who use locally grown, locally sourced food on their menus. And I think people are gaining a real appreciation for that as well.
Yeah, farm to table is great. I think definitely the flavors are more pronounced. Maybe it's placebo, but I feel like
yeah.
It tastes different.
Well, and I think we did something just earlier this year. We created the Indiana Culinary Trails Passport, and we did that working with the Indiana Foodways Alliance. And what they do is they've curated 21 different food trails. I heard you talking about tenderloins with the Lieutenant Governor. One of those trails is the Tenderloin Lovers Trail. But there's also the winery trail, the distillery trail, the ice cream trail, the sweet shops trail. So there's like 260 different restaurants and entities around the state that are all locally owned. So you won't find any of the national chains on any of the trails. And again, most of them use locally sourced whenever they can products in making whatever they're making. And it's a great opportunity for people to maybe get to a restaurant they hadn't heard about, didn't know about, but they're all, like we said, locally owned, some mom and pop type of locations. But you can find that passport on visitindiana.com/cuisine. And signing up for that is really kind of fun. You sign up and you get an app that you can put on your phone. And whenever you go to any of the restaurants or wineries or sweet shops, whatever, you check in. And as you check in, after so many, you get a gift from us. The more check-ins you do, then you know you keep getting to the next level where you get another gift. So people ought to think about doing that. But again, heard the Lieutenant Governor mention, this is Porktober. We're celebrating our pork tenderloins, our breaded pork tenderloins here in Indiana. So the Tenderloin Lovers Trail sort of being featured this month. And thanks to the Indiana pork producers, if you visit 5 of the restaurants on the Tenderloin Lovers Trail, you'll get this great t-shirt. It's a red t-shirt, has a picture of a breaded pork tenderloin on it, and it says Indiana Sandwich. So it's a great t-shirt. So we encourage people to, you know, download that passport and get out to the Tenderloin Lovers Trail this month and celebrate Porktober with us. It's, like I said, a great opportunity to try something different, maybe. You know, it's funny that pork tenderloins, everybody knows that, well, most people know that they're always bigger than the bun. You know, usually they're pound, breaded, and deep fried. But beyond that, there are different specialties that people have. So every pork tenderloin doesn't taste like the last one you had, because they'll put their secret sauce on that pork tenderloin as well. So it's a great opportunity to take an evening out and go try some great food.
As the temperatures start to drop, what are your suggestions for things that folks can still do? Or is it going to be too cold out to do anything?
Oh, you know, there are so many fall festivals out around this time of year. And, you know, you can find those festivals at visitindiana.com as well. You know, one we just missed was earlier in October. They had the Park County Covered Bridge Festival, one of our largest festivals in Indiana. You know, Park County is kind of special. It has really, I think, 31 covered bridges in their county, in one county. So you can't hardly go anywhere without seeing one. And they're beautiful, historic sites there that you can do. And during the festival, obviously, they have all kinds of vendors there selling all types of things. But there are fall festivals everywhere, especially during October. They seem to be fun. And so I think, you know, taking advantage of that, you know, maybe you put a sweater on or a jacket, but being outdoors and enjoying some of these festivals is really fun. And, you know, as we get into the holidays, there's even more festivals that happening, outside opportunities, like, you know, up at Newfields when they do their winter lights and things like that as well. So there's lots of things to do. But of course, Halloween's right around the corner, and you've got haunted houses. And as we mentioned already, the corn mazes and the headless horseman that shows up at Connor Prairie every year. So just those types of things to take advantage of here in Indiana.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for all of your insight. And I don't know if I'll ever go to a haunted house, because I went once and it still haunts me.
Well, you know, they do have lights on it, many of them, so you can take advantage of that one.
Oh, that's good. Elaine Beadle, Secretary and CEO of the Indiana Destination Development Corporation. Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Micah Yason. Scott Cameron is our managing editor. Adam Gross is our engineer and composed our theme song. If you'd like a podcast of this show or any past show, you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. Find us on Twitter and Facebook at All In Indiana. I'm Miriam Soap. Thanks for listening. This is All In.